Ben, what's your spin?
My spin is pat your britches, as we would say in Appalachia. Pat your britches.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic is, what is fast fashion? Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We're glad you're here.
Yes, we are. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Tymie. Hey, girl. What you wearing?
So I'm
raising my eyebrows sensuously in a interrupting while I'm asking you what you're wearing.
Yes. Well, before I tell you what I'm wearing right now, I want to tell you about my style. Is that okay? My like fashion,
sure.
My style. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So pretty much, with the exception of when I'm working or teaching, which is business casual, my style has not changed since I was an undergrad in the 1990s, which it mostly consisted of like band t-shirts, jeans, mm-hmm. and Doc Martens. Mm-hmm. And although I don't wear jeans that much anymore and I don't wear mm-hmm. Doc Martens, I still, if I'm not teaching, am in some kind of t-shirt and comfortable mm-hmm. clothes. Mm-hmm. The band mm-hmm. t-shirt has been replaced by something akin to what you see on me today. So can you describe to our listeners the t-shirt that I'm wearing today?
Yeah, you're wearing a black t-shirt with cheetah stripes in a gorgeous profile of your baby kitty Sir Davos Seaworth of Flea Bottom.
Yes, it is a custom-made mm-hmm. t-shirt where I sent in a photograph and they reproduced it on this t-shirt for mm-hmm. me. So
what company did you use?
I can't remember the name of the company, but it is ethically mm-hmm. sourced. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking on other podcasts that I listen, they advertise Tee Public. That's TEEPublic.com, where you get all kinds of tea. I thought maybe it was that.
We're not mm-hmm. advertising, but if Tee Public wants to pay us or make a donation to the Gandhi Center, we're perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, give us some dollars, Tee
Public. Okay, so that's me. What are you wearing, sir?
Well, today I'm also wearing a t-shirt and shorts because
yes.
it's summertime.
Yes.
But I would say that overall, I would kind of characterize my fashion as like clean and neat.
Yes.
So like the craziest I get is maybe like some floral patterns on some summer like short sleeve shirts, but I like clean, neat lines, lots of plaid.
Yes.
You know, pretty standard colors, blues, whites.
Yeah. Can I describe the image on your t-shirt today?
Yeah, it is one of my favorite tees.
Yes, it says free hugs, and it's a picture of a cactus in the desert.
Yeah, because I'm kind of prickly. Yes.
Well, okay then. So we're not fashionistas, I guess.
No. Yeah. So on a more serious note, do you remember the Rana Plaza disaster?
I do, but I don't remember all of the details. Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember hearing about it at the time, but the Rana Plaza disaster happened in Bangladesh in April of 2013. Rana Plaza was an 8-story building that collapsed, and it housed primarily clothing and garment factories. So 6 of the 8 floors were shops, sweatshops, essentially. Yeah. So a day before the building collapsed, people found like large structural cracks in the building.
Uh-oh.
The building was ordered closed.
Yes.
But the managers of the garment factories forced workers to report to work the next day, threatened to fire them or dock their pay if they didn't show up. So they showed up and the building collapsed. 1,134 workers were killed. 2,500 more injured people were rescued from the rubble, which the rescue effort took weeks. It was a big mess. People were trapped for days and you know, it was bad.
Did get people out alive.
Yeah, 2,500 people.
Oh, okay.
The 2,500 is the number of injured people in the rubble that they rescued.
Okay.
Yeah, that were there for, you know, some of them for, you know, a week drinking their own urine. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. It was awful. But anyway, this was the victims included mostly women working in the garment factory. There were even a number of kids there, women bringing their kids to the nursery to work.
Yeah.
But it was a major triggering event that brought the problem of fast fashion to the public's attention.
Okay, so
one of the big triggering events.
Yes, define for us mm-hmm. and the listener fast fashion. What is it?
Well, fast fashion is the style that you sport while you're running on the treadmill. JK, not. But I will say that I did just yesterday complete my 500th class at Orange Theory.
Congratulations! Mm-hmm.
But I'm a power walker, so I don't run. So for me, it would not be fast fashion, maybe like brisk fashion.
Yes.
But no, that's not what fast fashion is.
Okay.
I didn't know a lot about fast fashion before this listener submitted topic. One of our most devoted listeners, Diane.
Diane Folk, yeah. Our program support technician, mm-hmm. has submitted a lot of recommendations mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. things to cover. This was just one of those. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to catch up real quick on this topic and read an article that was really good that I used heavily to kind of put this together. And we'll link to that in the show notes. And I also had a student do an ethics paper on fast fashion this spring. So
nice.
Was a little bit familiar. With nice. It. But fast fashion refers to brands who produce and sell large quantities of cheaply produced clothing items that attempt to replicate hot looks fresh yes. from the runway.
Yeah, awesome.
So the idea is that these companies rapidly make very cheap clothes that are trendy, mm-hmm. that people can buy, they wear a few times, and yes. either the clothes wear out or they just throw them away. Yes. So it kind of capitalizes on the idea of a trend in the truest sense of the word, like what's hot today will be not tomorrow.
Right, right.
And historically, the fashion industry success was accomplished by mass producing standardized items and styles that didn't change much. So like Levi jeans, mass produced 3 or 4 jeans that, you know, you could get everywhere yes. because of the ease of factory production and design. But when shopping kind of became, less of a necessity and more of like a hobby, mm-hmm. and particularly with the advent of online shopping, the yes. demand for fast fashion has grown. So in the U.S., the average person purchases one item of clothing every 5.5 days, and the average garment use time has decreased by 36% since 2005.
Wow.
So in the last 20 years, people are buying a lot more clothes, and they're keeping them for a lot shorter period of time.
Yes. Before we mm-hmm. came in today, I actually looked in my closet and tried to see if, like, really quickly I could think about the oldest piece of clothing in there that mm-hmm. I owned, mm-hmm. and I couldn't. I mean, mm-hmm. like, it's all... Last 5 years, mm-hmm. but I don't have a really old piece of clothing. Mm-hmm.
I've got several. I've got things that I wore in undergrad.
Oh, my goodness.
Like sweaters and jackets. I don't go through jackets fast at all in coats. So
yes.
most of my coats are longevity pieces.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. I mean, I got rid of all my 90s band t-shirts, so I don't have any of those yeah. anymore.
So people are going through clothes a lot yeah, quicker than yeah. they used to, and brands are producing twice the number of clothes now compared to 20 years ago, 2000.
Yes.
And the current global clothing production is estimated to increase by 2% each year. So it's easy to see the appeal of fast fashion.
Right,
you
right.
can get the hottest looks quickly, cheaply. You don't have to recycle looks. For example, I'm talking about like my old clothes. Yes. I wear like the same six pairs of pants and 8 shirts to teach in.
Yes.
You know, so maybe like I'm on like a bi-weekly schedule. But,
yeah.
you know, I wear the same thing over and over again to teach in. You wouldn't have to do that with fast fashion. I could get like a hot new teaching look
yes.
every week.
Yeah.
And obviously it can make a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah. I tend to, for me, it's all about comfort. So if I find something that I like that's super comfortable, I'll buy like 5 of those. And so I do recycle those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So who are the biggest companies that produce fast fashion?
Yeah, so I checked several lists, and the brands that we're going to talk about here were kind of repeat offenders on the list. And I actually hadn't heard about a lot of these. As we've already hinted, I'm pretty simple when it comes to shopping.
Same.
But Zara was on the top of most lists, the largest company with the most revenue. I hadn't heard of Zara before.
I have heard of Zara. I knew that they were the kind of the initial company that started fast mm-hmm. fashion. I mm-hmm. knew that, but I have never shopped there. Mm. And I don't even think I've seen the online yeah. website.
Mm. H&M was also high, usually number 2 on the list. We have H&M in the Valley Mall at Harrisonburg, which I've not been in since before the pandemic, actually.
Okay.
But I had heard of H&M before. Maybe I bought a shirt there years ago, but
yes.
their style never appealed to me. It was always kind of like the European, like white pants and yes. black shirts and dark... So, funny story,
the reason I have bought stuff from H&M is because when I would be traveling over the summer, primarily in countries in Europe, mm-hmm. H&M is ubiquitous, and including during study abroad, students were always very excited about mm-hmm. H&M, but I would buy underwear there mm-hmm. because, you know, I would run out of like clean clothes and it would be a while before I would mm-hmm. know if I was going to be able to wash any. So mm-hmm. I would mm-hmm. buy like underwear there because mm-hmm. it was cheap and you yeah. could get like an 8 or 10 pack or something. And mm-hmm. while I was traveling, that was perfect.
Nice. I don't know how to pronounce this. Sheen.
Shane. Sheen. It's either Sheen or Shane. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure.
I hadn't heard of them, but also one of the big offenders, very high on most lists of fast fashion brands.
Yeah, sometimes I get like targeted ads mm-hmm. from them, and I'm not sure why, because I've never ordered anything from them that I can recall or remember. So I don't mm-hmm. know. They just made me mm-hmm. think like this middle-aged lady mm-hmm. needs some of this in her life.
Uniqlo, haven't
never,
heard.
Never heard of them. Of that.
Mango, haven't heard.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Forever 21, I have heard, but I don't think I'm the target audience.
Yes, I was trying to remember if we had Forever 21 in the 90s, when mm-hmm. is when I would have been 21, but I don't remember, no. Mm-hmm.
Urban Outfitters, I may have yes. been in one, but I'm pretty sure I've never bought anything from there.
No, I know that they had one mm-hmm. in the mall where I grew up, but I did not buy mm-hmm. anything from there.
Victoria's Secret, another place that I don't shop.
But, I have shopped there in the past mm-hmm. In a previous life, but mm-hmm. we did have one in our Valley Mall, but it closed. Mm-hmm. So I no longer shop yeah. there because mm-hmm. I'm not going to order anything online from Victoria's yeah. Secret.
Well, it appears that you are a repeat offender of fast fashion for getting you some, as we call them in Appalachia, panties.
Yes,
so
panties.
That's how you pronounce it in Appalachia. It's not panties, it's panties.
Yep.
Get you some panties.
Get me some panties.
Mm-hmm. Gap was yes. mentioned a lot. I used to shop there a lot, not anymore. And Old Navy is kind of a subsidiary of Gap, and I do still buy a lot of stuff there because they have one of the few places that has my size.
Yeah.
They have a
yeah.
large tall, so I'm not quite an extra large. I'm not quite a large.
Yeah.
And actually the shirt, this shirt that you described earlier, is the Old Navy large
oh, yeah.
tall.
That does shirt. Not surprise mm-hmm, me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's no big and tall around, so mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to mm-hmm. shop there. But
well, even big and tall, like big and tall are like
plus
sizes.
Oh.
So
oh,
okay. large tall is kind of like a slim extra large.
Gotcha.
So it's a perfect size for me.
Because you're slim after mm-hmm. those 500 workouts that you did at Orange Theory.
I wish. And then finally, another big one is Hot Topic.
Yes.
That's where I used to get all of my wallet chains and nose piercings.
Yeah.
not.
No, this is so weird for me because mm-hmm. growing up in the 90s, Hot Topic did not exist. And so we did all this like DIY stuff. So like in order mm-hmm. to get a choker that looked like a dog collar, I actually bought a mm-hmm. leather dog collar from the store and then like super glued rhinestones onto it and wore that out like on a Friday night.
A real dog collar.
I bought a real dog collar. I actually have a picture of it still too.
That's
so
awesome.
I'll show it to you one day.
Hey.
But now you can just buy mm-hmm. that stuff at Hot Topic. You don't need to make it yourself, mm-hmm. but no, I don't shop at these places.
So those are some of the biggest offenders.
Okay. So other than those brands, what are some of the ways that you can spot fast fashion?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would be able to spot it. So what mm-hmm. are some signs or characteristics?
Yeah, there's some common characteristics of fast fashion, particularly the way that it's made. And it creates a lot of justice problems mm-hmm. and harms to people and to the planet, which of course we'll talk about in a moment.
Yes.
I'll save that for later. But
okay.
One of the big clues of fast fashion is when a store has a lot of different styles, a lot of different looks, but only a small number of individual items.
Oh, okay.
And the idea is that it kind of like creates the perception in the consumer that if you don't get this look now, then it'll be gone and you won't be able to get it. So you have to get it. You have to get it now.
Okay.
Another is short turnaround time. So when the time between when the look debuts on the runway and when it appears in the store. So the traditional life cycle of the fashion industry has four stages: intro at like Fashion Week or by fashion leaders, then two, people start wearing it, then three, mass conformity, like a lot of people start wearing it, and then the look goes out of style.
Okay.
And fast fashion really tries to decrease the time between particularly the first two stages, the
right.
time between Fashion Week and when a look hits the store. So from weeks to days, from runway to store, or from the catwalk to the shopping cart, as
yes.
I like to say.
Okay, gotcha.
And talking about the catwalk, that reminds me of yes. our dearly departed friend, Otis, when we used to go to the karaoke, the bowling alley karaoke bar.
We did that mm-hmm. years ago, yes.
Yeah, and Otis was like this old mountain man, like
yeah.
bearded, overalls, flannel, but he would always sing the songs like I'm Sexy and I Know It,
yeah.
or I'm Too Sexy.
Yes, I remember.
For my shirt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he was adorable.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
Otis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another indicator is that items are made from cheap, low-quality fabrics.
Yes.
Polyester in particular accounts for 51% of global fibers used mm-hmm. in the fashion industry. Nylon, spandex. And then offshore manufacturing, cheap labor, exploitation of workers. About 90% of the world's clothing production is outsourced to middle to low income countries.
Shocking. That's bad. We should probably talk a little bit more about some of the specific harms or problems of fast fashion.
Yeah, so these are the, you know, major reasons why fast fashion is not good, why fast fashion is harmful. And one of the biggest ones is pollution in environmental justice, yes. One of the biggest harms. Fast fashion is environmentally harmful in a lot of ways. So cheap toxic dyes and other chemicals used in producing fast fashion create wastewater, which yep. pollutes water and waterways. As we talked about in our ocean trash episode,
yes.
environmental justice, particularly the factories producing these toxins, are concentrated in the poorest countries and the yep. poorest communities, making already bad conditions
yes.
even worse.
Yes.
Polyester and plastic materials used in the clothes are also harmful to the environment, making them consume fossil fuels.
Yes. And climate change, climate mm-hmm, justice mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, call back to ocean trash. These materials particularly yes. also shed microfibers and microplastics, increasing microplastics in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, by nature, fast fashion just means buying a lot more and throwing a lot more away. So clothes end up in landfills as waste pollution itself. A lot of discarded garments end up transported back to developing poor countries, incinerated in landfills or dumped in landfills.
Yeah, so this is a big problem. Lots of these bales of secondhand clothes end up in countries like Ghana. In Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they're fast fashion, they're in pretty poor condition and they're mostly unusable when they get there. So estimates have been that only about 10% of what gets shipped to these countries can be resold. And most of the fabrics cannot be upcycled outside of like denim, but denim doesn't end up in the thrift anymore.
Yeah.
So these clothes end up not only in our landfills, but the landfills of these other countries. Mm-hmm. So since 2019, Rwanda and Uganda have tried to stop imports. There are other countries have tried to do this as well, because in cities like Accra and Ghana, there's going to be there are huge towers of unused clothes
mm-hmm.
that every day increase in both number and size.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a workforce in Accra, for example, of about 30,000, mostly women with children, who carry these bales of used clothes around to retailers, traveling miles and only making dollars a day.
Mm-hmm.
So exploitation all the way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even when brands use natural fabrics like cotton or leather, they have to use them at such a massive scale that, you know, they use tons of water, can cause droughts. They also use tons of toxins like pesticides and chemicals used in tanning leather.
Yes.
It can lead to land clearing, deforestation. And remember, these things are happening in kind of the poorest places in the world. So I watched the True Cost, which is a documentary on fast fashion. It's on Peacock. In one of the, you know, things it talked about, like the massive cotton fields in the Punjab region of
mm-hmm.
India
mm-hmm.
and the pesticides and toxins, and like 30% of or more, 30 to 40% of kids living in that area have cancer, you know, deformities,
yes.
developmental problems.
Yes.
So really sad.
Yeah.
And then there's also the supply chain. So frequently
right.
each stage in the manufacturing process occurs in a different country, in a different place. And then you have shipping and air cargo and ground transportation. And
yeah.
sometimes
emissions.
Garments can have traveled around the globe one or several times before yeah. they end up in the store.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you think about them coming here and then going back to Africa, mm-hmm. you know, after mm-hmm. coming from like India or something.
Yeah. So pollution is a big one. As we've already hinted, the exploitation of workers is
yes.
a big problem.
Yes.
So to produce fast fashion, companies have to take advantage of countries with limited labor laws and protections. Bangladesh
right.
is a major producer of garments. The minimum wage is so low. There aren't any worker protections.
Yes.
You know, really bad conditions. We talked about the Rana Plaza disaster at the
yes.
beginning. So fast fashion uses sweatshops where people work long hours in, you know, hot factories, poor working conditions, crowded with workers, most of them women, some of them use child labor.
Yeah.
Workers face dangerous conditions, exposure to chemicals and toxins.
Yeah.
You know, fires in these factories kill a lot of these workers. So, yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that documentary, The True Cost. So mm-hmm. that's a recommendation. Before we talk about the next part, I'm just going to say that this is a content warning for animal abuse. So mm-hmm. just like fast forward 15 seconds or 20 seconds or something if you don't want to hear this next bit.
Yeah, animal lovers, beware. So the environmental effects of fast fashion destroy animals' habitat and yes. can harm animals in the natural world, but it gets even worse. So there have been instances where real animal fur is cheaper to produce than faux fur. Mm-hmm. So, you know, dogs and cats and rabbits and raccoon fur has been passed as fake fur.
Yeah.
And particularly in countries like China, who use raccoon dogs, and which is kind of like a species of wild dog. You know, the animals are farmed, they're kept in cages in horrible conditions. Many of them result to, you know, cannibalism, eating themselves to stay alive, and they're oftentimes killed in horrible ways. So they're, you know, like electrocuted to paralyze them and then skinned alive.
Yeah,
so,
there are videos mm-hmm. and stuff of this online, but I would not ever in a million years yeah. watch them because mm-hmm. I'm highly triggered by animal yeah. abuse. Mm-hmm. And so I would suggest you not mm-hmm. do that as well. But I feel like more people are familiar now with raccoon dogs since they were mm-hmm. found to be in the Wuhan wet market mm-hmm. and tied to COVID because raccoon dogs actually were not supposed to be in the wet mm-hmm. market. But I feel like people have heard about raccoon dogs recently because yeah. of that research into that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good. No. There are, I want to say that there are some things that we can do for fast fashion, mm-hmm. but then when I was trying to look and see what is actually being done, there was almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really bleak because there are no U.S. federal laws that regulate offshore outsourcing, mm-hmm. right? So, and there's no political will to pass these bills. Like yeah. they get introduced a lot of times, but then they just end up dying in committee and they never make it. So mm-hmm. there's just like no political will to regulate this in the Senate. Countries can address labor rights and the climate crisis by raising wages. But in order to do this, mm-hmm. they must commit to fairer purchasing prices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things in that documentary, we talked about like the workers in Bangladesh, yeah. that there's no incentive in Bangladesh to increase the you know, the pay
right.
and the working conditions, because if they do, then they'll just lose all of this work that's
yes.
putting, you know, thousands, millions of people to work to other countries that can beat them on
yeah.
you know, prices and cost.
Yeah, so it's a global problem. Mm-hmm. If the brands are required to commit to paying more for their orders, so for mm-hmm. their orders, factories can properly cover the costs of production, and this includes labor. But yeah, like you mentioned, they're not paying a living wage, and there's no incentive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So most companies can afford to pay employees fair wages without risking financial losses, but they don't do that mm-hmm. because they don't have to. There's mm-hmm. no legal requirement to do that, and you can just move this to mm-hmm. a different country.
Mm-hmm. So. And there's been a lot of posturing by these yeah. companies lately that say they do, you know, good things for the environment and are concerned about their workers, but it's just
yeah. I mean,
not true.
Anytime you hear something called mm-hmm. corporate social responsibility, it's nonsense. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, not much to do in terms of like law and policy, or at least not much motivation, but there are things that we can do as individuals. So
yeah.
without, you know, fast fashion is something that would be, you know, unsustainable without the demand, or at least the appearance of demand.
Right.
Although in reality, companies still end up with tons of unused, unsold garments that contribute
yes.
to pollution.
Yes.
But some simple things that we can do. Vivienne Westwood, who was an influential British designer, who I totally have never heard of before.
Yeah, she was awesome. I have yeah. heard of her.
Well, I have not. Okay. But anyway, she coined the phrase, buy less, choose well, make it last.
Yeah.
Buy less, choose well,
make it last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So buy less, keep the clothes you have. Don't buy unnecessarily.
Yes.
There were also, you know, kind of some suggestions about this, like, you know, mix and match your outfits, or
yeah.
take a nice pair of jeans that you have and make them into jorts.
Jorts, jeans into jorts. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Choose well is yes. the second stage, which is the idea of avoid fast fashion brands. Choose shops, choose stores, choose clothes that use high quality materials that are ethically sourced. And there are tons of resources online and apps. You can just Google sustainable fashion or ethically sourced clothes and find lots of you know, resources on what's good and what's not.
Yeah, I try to do that, but sometimes I fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then make it last, the last one. Yes. Take care of the clothes that you have. Follow the instructions. Repair your clothes. Wash them as they say to do. And this is one, you know, we were talking about like the age of clothes. I wanted to say this right here. I actually have a pair of jeans that I used to wear in like high school and undergrad that my grandmother patched.
Oh, my mom,
she patched. Like, they're patched all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't wear them anymore. They're probably too small, too tight for me at this point. But I keep them in my closet, like, for sentimental reasons.
That's very cute.
And now I still take my pants and shorts to Chong's all the time. I thought I had these shorts on today, but I actually wore them yesterday. But the pair that I wore yesterday, I've had patched and I've had the button sewed back on.
Yeah, kind of related to that. That's, you know, my I remember going to the store often with either of my grandmas, because they would be looking for patterns, because both of them had sewing machines, and I remember them sewing clothes. Mm-hmm. I don't own one, and I can never imagine doing that myself, but that's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. You would get a pattern and sew it and make a dress.
Yeah, I need to at least learn to sew a button back on. But
I used to know how to sew, but I just don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know where I would go to sew, because I don't have a sewing machine.
Needle and thread.
Sew
a needle pulling thread.
Yes.
Well, all right. You got anything else, Tanya?
No.
All right. Well, to close our show, it's our Minute to Spin It, where we each give our 30-second takeaway from today's show. So, Tanya, in just a minute, what's your spin?
I think I have a couple. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So,
spin several times.
First, I want to say that I have weird sensory issues. So, for me, I need clothes to not have tags in them. Mm-hmm. So, can companies please stop making clothes with tags? Mm-hmm. Make ethical clothes and make them without tags, especially panties. Mm-hmm. Why do panties have tags? Mm-hmm. So my spin is actually, though, this. Do you really need that $7 t-shirt from H&M?
No.
Instead, pay for a custom-made t-shirt with your kitty cat's face where the company pays their workers a living wage.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your spin?
My spin is patch your britches, as we would say in Appalachia. Patch your britches. Fast fashion is consumerism at its worst.
Yes.
It's horrible to think about the exploitation of workers and the devastation of the environment for convenience, for fashion. So patch your britches.
Patch your britches. This podcast is sponsored by the Gandhi Center at JMU, which relies on support from generous donors like yourselves. If you would like to throw a few bucks to the Gandhi Center to support our educational programming, please click on the link in our show notes. Send justice topic suggestions via DM on IG at Gandhi Center JMU, or you can tweet at us or DM us on Twitter at Just A Minute Pod.